I have been getting asked by so many of you guys where my favorite blue light glasses are from, and they are from Privé Revaux. So visionaries Jamie Foxx, Ashley Benson, and Hailee Steinfeld aim to shake up the eyewear market, and they've done just that. Privé Revaux was founded on the belief that head-turning style shouldn't be a luxury reserved for just a select few. So they created high designer sunglasses, anti-blue light, and reader glasses starting at just $29.95. The perfect pair of glasses can make you feel like the world is just waiting for you to show it who's boss. I can actually attest to this, guys. I'm wearing them now, and they make me feel like an intellect, but I'm also blocking my eyes from those harmful blue light radiations that are coming from your, you know, all of your favorite devices. Each pair of handcrafted glasses has high standards and low prices, polarized lenses, 100% UVA, UVB protection with lenses with blue light blocking technology. We leave no stone unturned when it comes to creating the most affordable, high quality, handcrafted eyewear on the market. And you guys can actually enjoy 15% off your purchase with the promo code GALSONTHEGO15. Once again, that's 15% off your Privé Revaux sunglasses on privérevaux.com with the code GALSONTHEGO15. You should really check out these blue lights. I'm telling you, all your friends will be super jealous, and they're really, really cute. And I was always looking for an excuse to need glasses anyways, and now I'm protecting my eyes. So
happy Earth Month, you guys. I love that I can shop sustainably at Macy's. I actually really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. So, you guys want to join in on the fun? You can join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. You can donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. I think this is such a cool idea, like turning old schoolyards into green spaces. That's so exciting. I feel like more and more we're needing to go outside, so this is perfect, and I love Macy's for that.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until
that presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case
unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com, designed for work.
Hi guys, what is up? Welcome back to the Gals on the Go podcast. My name is Brooke and I am joined without Danielle today because I have to laugh. There's just been a lot of changes in my life in the past like few weeks. If you clicked on the title of this podcast, you would know what is going on, but I did indeed quit my job. So we're going to go into the nitty, the gritty today that you guys have been asking a ton of questions on. I'm 22. I graduated in May from the University of Georgia, got a job after college in tech sales, and said peace out 2 weeks ago. It was a very quick turnaround. We're going to get into the nitty gritty, but before we hop into all of that, I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us with our Gals on the Go merch. You guys are absolutely crushing it with the pictures and everything that you're sending us in the new Don't Text hoodie. Adorable. And just all of our like original Gals on the Go stuff. The stickers are great. I have one on the back of my iPad right now and on my computer. I have them on like everything. I'm like giving them to everyone. I'm like, here, show your Gals on the Go pride. It comes in a 3-pack. It's great. You can go to shop.podcast1.com/gals to check out all of our merch selections, or alternatively, you can get the link in the description of this podcast episode. And follow us on Instagram at Gals on the Go podcast. We are updating you on there, and we usually do like Q&A's in our episodes, and typically we pull the questions from there. So it's just like the one of the best ways to stay engaged with the community. We also have a Facebook group that is popping off, you guys. It's like a one big happy family, okay? And you guys are the best. So thank you so much for being active listeners and just the best ever. And I know Danielle did a solo last week, so we really didn't want to do like 2 weeks of like back and forth because we know you guys like it when we are together. But given
the circumstances, we thought it would make sense to kind of separate on this one. So without further ado, let's hop into the highlights and lowlights.
Highlights and lowlights.
So my lowlight, with all of this crazy, crazy change that has come into my life recently, there has been a big adjustment period. Just being back in Boston this weekend, because I was kind of traveling around last week, which I'll get to. Just being back even this weekend, it was kind of like, whoa, like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like my life now. Like, I don't really have any real responsibility, which is such a big pro. But at the same time, it's definitely something that is going to require adjustment, because at every point in my life up until this point, I have had a professor, a boss, someone telling me like what to do. And I had responsibilities, you know, like I had to be at class at a certain time, I had to be at work at a certain time, internship, or just like responsibilities that had like real, not that I don't have hard deadlines now, because I definitely still have hard deadlines, but actual more time, like scheduling things, I guess. It was definitely more schedule based. So just adjusting to this new period, which it's a highlight and a low light in the sense that it's fun and exciting to try something new and kind of getting used to my new routine and like, this is my life now, which is pretty cool. So it's good and bad, but just being back this weekend was definitely interesting and realizing like, wow, I don't have work on Monday. And like friends and stuff from work, like whatever, dealing with all that stuff. Even though they've been like nothing but supportive. But it's just a change, and I think any change could be seen as good or bad, and honestly it is pretty good. So like, if that's my lowlight, like I'm doing just fine, life's pretty dandy. So then in turn for the highlight, last week, so I actually went, this is kind of like a 2 week now, we're going back, so Danielle and I recorded that podcast that we did, not like Danielle's that she did last week, but the one previously, we recorded that on Monday. I booked my flight to Georgia on Tuesday, and then on Friday after work, I flew to Georgia, stayed there until Monday, and then Tuesday I went to New York City with a company, and I'm so pissed that I cannot share, unfortunately, what company it is due to privacy restrictions and stuff, but it was seriously, like, actually insane. I hope that, like, one day I'll be able to share the details of that, but it was just actually amazing, and it really made me, like, the trip. I stayed in the Soho Grand Hotel, which is, this is literally, like, the nicest hotel I've ever been in my whole life. I don't, when I travel, I usually do, like, lower cost hotels just because I don't really care. Like, you're really just, like, sleeping there. Like, yeah, it's nice to have, like, the cushy experience of, like, a nice hotel, but for the most part, like, if you just want to travel, like, it's definitely more affordable to do, like, Airbnbs or, like, chain hotels, like stuff like that. So the company that I went with put me up in the nicest hotel, you guys. I felt so bougie, and the room was just incredible, the experience was incredible, and I really wish I could share more. It feels so annoying, like one of those freaking influencers now that's like secret project, but it's not even a secret project, it's just like I don't even know, it's like in the clauses of things that I agreed to. But it was incredible, and that was a way to really bounce back, because I did leave my job on Friday. And I'll get into it, like, why didn't you give 2 weeks notice, everyone's asking. We'll get into it. I keep using verbal baggage, you guys. It's hard when I do solo podcasts. I recognize that. Like, I'm probably going to say like and a good bit, because Danielle and I don't have each other to bounce back and forth off each other. So that's my disclaimer for the day. And my brain is literally in a million places today, so that's cool. It was a great trip. New York is amazing. I fell in love with the city just all over again. And really made me realize, I think that might be my next move. That might be like where I want to be next. And that was originally my plan when I graduated college. I was like, I'm going to, like, upon like graduating college, I always thought that I would be moving to New York. If you even listen back to like old episodes of Gals on the Go, I'm like, yeah, I'm moving to New York with one of my good friends in high school, Fran. And I definitely jumped the gun on that one, because I simply didn't have a job there or like anything lined up. So that didn't happen. She's moving in with another friend now, so like it did work out for her, luckily. But I do love the city, and since I'm originally from Long Island, New York, if you don't know, like I like New York City will always have a special piece of my heart, because you know, we used to, growing up, I like always went there on field trips, and like it was just a big part of like our culture, like going to the city and exploring and whatnot. And later in high school, I would go up all the time, and then I went to college like super far away in Georgia, so I didn't really have that connection piece anymore. And then I would travel back and forth for like business trips or like YouTube related stuff, whatever it may be, and I always loved it. So maybe New York will be my next move, who knows. It's difficult to predict. My life is all over the place right now. Current favorite. My current favorite is definitely the Bath & Body Works fall candles. My two favorite scents are autumn and leaves. I like autumn. It's a little more sweeter than leaves. Leaves is like, I don't want to say muskier, but they're great. It's impossible to describe scents. So you just have to go to like your local store and smell them. They smell up they're going to smell up your entire like room, apartment, whatever. I know if you're in dorms, like you can't burn candles or whatever. One time, fun fact, one time Mariah burnt a candle in like the Russell dorm and she got in trouble and she had to like write like some essay about it. So don't burn candles in your dorms. Cause you could actually, like, it's actually dangerous. And yes, I don't even know how she got caught. Probably because the smell was so potent, like our RA saw it or something. Definitely don't do that. And I love them. They're great. Fall scents just really get me in a fall vibe. And it is, what is the weather right now? I haven't been outside today. I can't say that I have been. I definitely am going outside later today. Don't worry. I'm not going to like lock myself in my apartment. Oh, it's 58. It's crispy. And this whole week it's going to be like 70s, 60s. Wow, Thursday high of 46. It's going to be chilly on Thursday. I'm pretty excited, though. I'm definitely in this mood for some fall weather, and the candles are getting me in a mood. It's amazing, like, your scent memory connection, because the leaves candle, I have such a strong association to, like, later years of, like, high school, my mom burning, like, fall candles, and, like, I don't know, it just brings me back. It gives me, like, a very homey vibe, which I like. So it makes me happy. Which I like. And they're pretty affordable. If you get them when they are on sale, get them when they do buy one, get one, or like 2 for $20, or look up a coupon online or something, because you can definitely save money by doing it that way. All right. Goals. Let's talk about goals.
Goals.
Awesome. Oh, wow.
So with all these changes in my life, I want to get into a new routine, just establish some sort of structure, because I had a lot of structure with my 8-to-5 job, like in terms of waking up. I woke up every day at like 5:30, sometimes earlier. I was waking up at first at 6 and then I pushed it back to 5:30 because I realized that I like my time in the morning, and I still do love my time in the morning, obviously. But now that my schedule is more flexible, I can kind of create my day, which is super cool. I've never been a big fan of working out in the morning, so I don't have to do that. I can do it later in the day, or whenever I find time for that. But I also, my mom and I talked about this, like, I don't want to completely transform my life overnight, because I want to make really sustainable changes in my life. So I don't want it to be the type of thing where it's like, tomorrow I am waking up at 6 a.m. and meditating and then working out and then, you know, making this massive healthy breakfast or intermittent fasting or whatever, like things that I'm not normally doing right now. I feel like if I do too many changes at once, that might be too much. So I'm trying to like structure my day, gradually integrate things in. I am still trying to wake up in the 6 o'clock hour because I love, love, love having a morning. And I think that it is so realistic to do that. And I'm really excited. I also signed up for a co-working space. It is The Wing. So it's a women's only co-working space. So I will be able to get out of my apartment, which is super important as a solopreneur, like an entrepreneur, but like I work by myself. It's going to be really important for me to get out of my space, I know, because I do get sad when I'm alone all the time. I get sad in a lot of different circumstances. I'm going to talk a lot about mental health in this episode, something that I've touched on before on our show, but it's been especially pertinent recently. So just establishing some consistency. It doesn't need to be that I'm at the co-working space every day, you know, Monday to Friday. I can definitely still do some work from home, and I will do some work from home, of course, but I think it's extremely motivating. It's always been motivating to me in college, even like studying in like a coffee shop or the library where everyone else around you is working too. And I think co-working spaces will be really good for me because I do need to meet people and network. And not even just network, like genuinely make friends, because I think that if I'm like here in my apartment alone, like I called my mom before and I was just popping off on the phone for like 40 minutes. I couldn't stop talking because I haven't had someone to talk to in like 2 days. No, actually, I'm kidding. I went to brunch with my friend Steven yesterday, but you know what I mean? It's like, that's the thing about living alone, is that you just like want someone to, like things happen. You're like, oh my gosh, I have so much to share that I would normally like tell my roommates back at school or whatever. So yeah. That's my goal, I guess, getting into a new routine. So it's not really like a something that I can measure, but it's more just like a personal goal. And bringing in all these things gradually, honestly, you guys, I know I made it my goal a few weeks back to work out. I haven't worked out in weeks, like not even weeks. What am I saying? Months. I haven't worked out since that time I did SoulCycle with Gretchen. Can we, like, genuinely, what am I doing? I do like take walks and stuff. The other day on Saturday, I walked to some like local shops by my house, like a mile or whatever. So I like get out and like walk around and stuff. But nothing too crazy, and I need to start integrating all of that into my life. But now that I have the ability to structure my day, we will.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I wanted to talk to you about Casetify. This is something that Danielle and I have been loving recently. You've seen it on our YouTube channels and on our other social media forums. You guys are always asking us where we get our super cute, trendy phone cases from, but that's not even the best part about them. They are super protective too. I can't even imagine having to go like a day without my phone. So the idea of it falling and breaking is actually very, very scary. And all of those like hardcore protective cases are just, let's be honest, guys, they're not cute. They're ugly. They're bulky. They're big. And it just feels like if you want to keep your phone safe, you have to sacrifice style. But with Casetify, let me tell you guys, it is very, very possible to have both. These are super trendy phone cases, but they actually feature the best of both worlds because they have military grade drop protection and they have the super trendy styles. There's no need for the bulky phone case because they are sleek and chic, almost as if it is your actual phone. They have thousands of designs to choose from. You could also customize them. They've done collabs with artists and designers like Sarah Jessica Parker and the Rolling Stones. But like I said, you can customize them. That's what we do. We put our names, our initials all over them with your favorite colors and text. And they really, really, really do protect your phone, you guys. Casetify is going to keep your phone safe within drops of more than 6 feet. So celebrities like Kylie Jenner and Gigi Hadid are obsessed. You guys know this is going to be a phone case that you're going to want to show off on your Insta feed, on your socials. You're going to be obsessed. So go to casetify.com/galsonthego today to get 20% off of your new favorite phone case. That's casetify.com/galsonthego for 20% off your Casetify purchase. I don't think you guys will be disappointed. Now back to the episode. So let's get into the meat of the episode, the quitting my job. So like I said, 22, I went to the University of Georgia. So Danielle and I did go to the same school. I was a marketing major in school, which is in the Terry College of Business. And I know it's different at some schools. It's in the comm school. At some universities, I guess it's in the comm school. Some it's more creative. I don't even know. But marketing for us is in the business school, which is great because I loved getting my degree in business because I still had that like foundation of, you know, finances and economics and I still took like management classes and things like that versus like more of a creative route, which I still think is super interesting. But at the time, I'm like very, very grateful for my business degree. So I got a job basically like right out of college. Well, not even right out of college. I got it while I was still in college. I was applying to jobs while I was, March that I got this job. So I worked in tech sales, basically, in Burlington, Massachusetts. I could just say the company name. I don't work there anymore, and you guys could find it on my LinkedIn very easily. So I worked for Oracle, which is a very large tech company. I had never really previously heard of it until I, like, applied for the role and everything. But then I, upon realizing that, I was like, wait, this is, like, a huge – like, I knew I recognized the logo from somewhere. It's a huge – huge company, huge tech company. They have offices all over the United States, but most of their hubs, they have one in Santa Monica, Austin, Reston, Virginia, and Burlington, Massachusetts. At least those were where these positions were offered, the BDC, business development consultant, which in turn just generally means entry-level sales. So they hire people from all different backgrounds and majors, because you don't really need to be a business major to do sales. You kind of just need like people skills, in my humble opinion, after doing it for a few months. So they hire people from all different walks of life, backgrounds and stuff. A lot of people from Georgia that took this job went to the Austin location. So it was just me and a few others from Georgia that did go to this particular location. So I worked in Burlington. I live in Cambridge. So that's what the commute was like. It was like 30 to 45 on the way there, and then the way home was probably like 45 plus. And I worked in their apps division. Did I already say that? The company is split into tech and apps. And if you are like on tech, you, unless you were friends with someone on apps, like you will never see them. Like they operate basically as two different companies. So I was selling their applications, and then you get assigned like specific applications and a specific market. So my team sold customer experience products. People are probably like, what does this mean? Specific ones we sold are DataFox, CPQ, like the Commerce Cloud. So basically these are solutions that help optimize businesses. And I was in the upmarket category. So these are $2 billion in revenue plus accounts. The Microsofts, the Netflixes of the world. These aren't like mom and pop shops, although there are teams that are designated to that. But for customer experience, it's more tailored towards larger accounts, because it's kind of like, it's not products that are really essential to every single business. It's more, once you like hit a certain point, you know, you could start adding on these, like DataFox is a tool that helps you better organize and manage your data and like keeps it nice and clean and stuff. So people that are dealing with, you know, large amounts of data and numbers and have to manage their accounts or whatever. CPQ is a quoting tool. So I know that this is going to go over people's heads. People just ask me what I did. So I really just want to get like nitty gritty here. And I know it's so boring to some people. You could just fast forward a little bit. CPQ is a quoting tool. So let's say you are a steel manufacturer and you have to quote out product, like large products, like, you know, then a railroad company comes to you and says, hey, like we want to, you know, buy some product, then they could in theory use this quoting tool to generate an automatic number rather than like calculating it themselves. It's kind of like a calculator. So that's something that we sold. Like I said, the DataFox, Commerce Cloud, there was still, there was like a social media cloud, which is cool. And yeah, so basically technically I wasn't even qualified to sell, because you're just in lead generation when you're in this role. This is like any starting sales job, you're going to be in like somewhat of a lead generation role. If you're in an office setting, if you're in the field, you're in the field. Like I know people that do like liquor sales and they're like, you know, literally delivering the product or doing samplings and stuff like that. So I don't even know really about much about field sales, but this is like if you're in entry level sales of any sort. I was applying for roles like this at Yelp, Groupon. I did get an offer from Groupon, and I would have been doing essentially the same thing, but selling Groupon to small businesses. But technically, like I said, you're not even qualified to sell because you're not completing the sales cycle. You're just kind of generating interest and leads and passing along that contact information to someone who has a higher authority, more product knowledge, and really could like finish out the sales cycle. Because, you know, we are only a few months into the role, they can't really expect us to know how to like close out a sales cycle. I think that's a little unrealistic. So it is really just lead generation. That's what it's called. And it's a similar structure, like I said, to all different tech companies. I have a lot of friends that work for other tech companies, and they've expressed that it's pretty similar. Of course, there are differences across the board. And I mean, I'll just be honest with like the things that I was told. As far as I know, I didn't like sign anything that I'm not trying to like expose the company at all. Like I'll get into my very, very positive experience working there in just a little bit. But basically you get a list of accounts. So like I said, it could be Microsoft, Netflix. It could be people that have purchased from the company or that haven't. And then you get their contact information. You have some tools. You have lots of internal tools and things of that sort. And then you have to get their contact information, literally start dialing, emailing, and LinkedIn messaging them. That's kind of the means of contact that we used. And it was, there were minimums on the day. You had to do 50 interactions in a day. And that 50 could include calls, LinkedIn messaging, and emailing. So, you know, you could do 25 LinkedIn requests and like, there you go, that's 25. But then you know, 25 messages. But you did, you technically, we were supposed to make half of the interactions in calls, and these are cold calls. Like, these people don't know you're calling. So you, you know, get their numbers and you call and spark up a convo with them about a specific product or whatever it may be. That was definitely the part of the job that I struggled with the most. It's easy to say, like, I'm the one, I literally have a podcast, you guys. It's easy for me to say that I like talking. I love talking on the phone, but cold calling is a whole freaking, like, that's like the next level for real. So yeah, that's my job. The workload was really not overbearing at all. I don't think it was bad at all, to be honest. There were days where I could get everything done, you know, my 50 plus in just the morning time. And then I would go in the afternoon and just do like account research or something, because you want to be really tailored with your messaging. You don't want to spray and pray, as they call it, like just send the same messaging to every single person across the board, because that's just not going to get you anywhere. And the training was so sufficient, like I felt very adequately prepared to do my job and things like that. So it wasn't like, here are your accounts, good luck. Like, we went through 4 weeks of very comprehensive training, and that's how I like met a lot of my friends and stuff like that, that I'm sure you guys have seen on my social media. If you didn't know, my like main hub of everything is my YouTube. So I vlog and I do these things called Work Week in My Life. So I show you guys, you know, my life. I don't really vlog at work, but I'll show you before and after work, tell you about my day. And that's kind of like the hub of everything. And that's why a lot of people listen to the podcast, are kind of the similar audience, or I would say most of you guys probably like watch my videos and listen to the podcast, but there are of course some that do one or the other. So welcome if you are new. I know that was kind of nitty gritty, and to some people it does go over your head. I get it. Like, when I first realized, like when I was interviewing for these companies and trying to do research on what are cloud applications, I was so confused. But it's basically like web applications. It's stuff that's all of the data and stuff is held in the cloud, which is like iCloud on your Apple devices or Google Drive. It's not like a physical storage unit. It's all running on someone else's server, and the applications component is, you're not selling the client's storage, you're selling them like a product that can provide them some sort of value. I have friends that worked in back office products, so ERP, HCM, which is human capital management. I honestly don't even know what ERP stands for, because you really get like specific product knowledge on your products that you sell, because if you knew everything that the whole company did, you wouldn't be a human, you'd be a robot. So like, there's just no way you'd be able to like hold all that information in your brain. It's really interesting though. I don't know like what the selection, I think it's just, you know, who you end up interviewing with, and like that's how kind of like the team placement works, because I was always confused, like, why was I on this specific team and, you know, my friend Liz was on another team or whatever it is. Really interesting stuff. So I just want to do some, I hate to use like the word disclaimers, but this is going to be like a pretty meaty episode here. So even just with all of that aside, explaining like what my job was, and the reason why I didn't really share like too much about the details of my job is because one of the first days of the job, like an old manager was like, oh, we need to like have a chat about your social media and like what you can say and what you can't say. And then we never had that conversation. So I was just like always living on the edge, like nervous to say what I did. But I realized that like it's not a secret, because people, like all sales companies kind of operate in this way. But I guess they didn't want me to like share like specific knowledge or whatever, which I totally understand. But I now have come to the conclusion that every company operates this way. So yeah, I was not trying to hide anything or like hold back. That's not my vibe. A lot of people were wondering, because it was kind of like for 2 weeks, it was like, quote, unquote, like under wraps. Like I was running around NYC posting stuff on my Instagram story, and everyone's messaging me like, why aren't you at work? Like, how did you take a week off of work for PTO? Because I went home after I went to New York, which was amazing. I guess that's like my whole highlight. It's just like seeing my family and everything. And I was not trying to hide anything. I do have some content, like even the day that this podcast goes live, I have paid content for brands that is going up that pertains to work. So it's still kind of like dated content, if you will. So I had to be strategic about my timing. I want to be as open and honest with you guys as I can humanly be. I mean, my whole life is on the internet, you guys, dating back to a very, very early age. So I don't really have much to hide. It was just timing wise. So thank you for being super understanding. And my second disclaimer is I wanted to genuinely be that person, like that quote, quote, influencer that you guys could look to and relate to and do it all. I wanted to, you know, do my day job, do influencing and be a pro at all of it. And for a while, I was like, this is what I want. I've come to the conclusion, you guys, I don't know what I want out of life. I'm 22. There's like that Sex and the City quote, like, you're 22. What do you know about life? And it's so true. I don't know anything about life. I'm learning every single day. I'm not perfect. I think I'm the most spontaneous-minded person, impulsive person of all time. I think something and I, like, do it. And I'm like, why the heck did I do that? I act on my impulses way too fast. Not saying that I regret it in terms of, like, the quitting my job sense. But just in life, I will post videos and be like, why did I post that video? Or, like, post something on my Instagram story. Why did I post that? I hate that feeling of regret, which I feel quite often, unfortunately. And yeah, I just want to be open with you guys that I'm not perfect and I'm learning day by day too. So let's hop into it. Why did I quit my job? Per request. So if you guys have been watching my videos, these work week in my life videos, you literally can see the gradual deterioration of my mental health. I'm really lucky, you guys. I have never really struggled with mental health issues ever. Really, in my whole life, like my whole childhood, very happy, healthy childhood. I had such an amazing family structure, which I know my family is still like a very traditional family structure, which I know it's so rare. And that is like the biggest blessing to me is that my parents, not only are they still together, they still are genuinely in love with each other. And then it's just me and my brother. And, you know, of course, like my brother and I would fight growing up or whatever, but nothing, not like I was a very happy, happy child, no problems whatsoever. And of course, I went through hard times and I'll talk a little bit about in this episode, like, you know, like bullying I endured with YouTube or whatever. But I never really dealt with like too many issues or like weird thoughts or anything. And then for some reason, like upon moving to Boston, I know that for post-grad, a lot of people struggle with this. It is something that like when you graduate college, it's such a shift because I've been in school for every year of my life up until this point. Every year from preschool to kindergarten plus through college, every, you know, August, September rolls around, you start school and then you have your summers off. And this was definitely the first year without that, of course. And I think I just struggled more so with that transition harder than I thought I would. And I was really ambitious with my move up here to Boston, which I do not regret at all. I'm very happy to be here. But I moved from Georgia up here to Boston. I'm originally from Long Island. I know I'm all over the place, but now I'm here in Boston and I do love the city. But that was a very impulsive move. I don't really know many people here. I kind of took this job that I was very excited about and that at the time a lot of figures in my life were, you know, encouraging me to take. So I was happy about it at the time, but mentally you can literally see the deterioration in my mental health since I have started this job. I have been stretching myself too thin, honestly. I got into a lot of like unhealthy habits, like things that I really just don't feel comfortable even admitting on the podcast. I'm sure you guys can take that in whatever way you want to take it to. I was just unhappy because I felt like everything that I was doing it like 50%, because I would go to work and I was tired from staying up late, working on either the podcast, YouTube videos, content, whatever. And then the content that I was sending into brands, I was like, this is so, pardon my French, but like shitty. Like I was, this is horrible, horrible content. So elements of my business were slipping, just a lot of things. And honestly, for this is the tea from a monetary perspective, like when I consider like hours worked on my personal brand versus hours that I worked in the office, it didn't make sense to be there. So there was a bunch of reasons. I mean, the mental health component, I think, is the first and foremost. And it's easy for people to say, if you're not happy with your job, quit. Like it's so easy for people to say that. And I am in like the 1% that can actually do that because I had a backup plan. I have another business going on, like other things going for me, because of course I know friends from college or friends at work or whatever that are not happy. And they're like, I so badly want to quit my job, but they have nothing to fall back on. So it's kind of like that, like, what are you going to do? Move back in with mom and dad? Like, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you need a plan for your life, of course, because you can't just like act on impulse. If everybody was just out here quitting their jobs, like what would the world be? So yeah, I definitely get it. Not everybody would have the luxury to do what I did. I definitely recognize this privilege of being able to leave. But just know, because even like with friends from work, I think there was like some element of confusion there. Like YouTube and social media is something that I've worked on since I was literally 13 years old. So choosing to leave a traditional career to pursue this full time has been always on the back burner of my mind. It's always been something like, all right, what am I going to do with this? Like, what is it ever going to scale to that level? And honestly, you guys, I've endured the bullying. Like in high school, it was really, really tough for me. I've talked about it before in the podcast. Like I literally was not only like the YouTube girl, but I was like the weird YouTube girl. People would like make quotes from my videos and like make fun of me. And I was really lucky that I had, you know, my really core friend group. But there were certain people that just like wanted to like, I don't even know. They just like, I don't even know if it was out of hate or jealousy or like, I mean, I watched my old videos. Like it was pretty easy to make fun of me, like definitely. But I think it's just because I was doing something different and my town is very much so like, I love my town, but it's kind of like you do things by the book. Where I'm from, my small town on Long Island, New York, like you graduate high school. Hopefully you meet someone to date along the way and then you go to college and then you, maybe you'll move back home and then you get a job probably in New York City and then you work and then you die. Like, not to be dramatic, but like, you get married to someone, like whatever. You have kids, move back to Long Island. Like, it's just very traditional living. A lot of people in very traditional fixed mindsets. Like, I know the amount. My parents like kind of made comments like, love you guys so much. But just of like the parents along the way that would... And I think now it's more of a respect thing because, oh, I mean, it's almost 2020. Like, holy crap, let's get with the times here. But people would literally, like, go up to my parents and be like Brooke's, like, doing these videos. Like, haha. Like making fun of it, like, to them or to my friends. I know people would say stuff. Like, be like, what is Brooke doing? Like, this makes no sense. And, yeah, like, ridiculing me to my parents or whatever just because of the way that things are looked at in a traditional sense. And it's honestly, like, I'm not gonna lie, like in my town it's weird to go off and do your thing. Like I'm thinking of people that have come out of the closet or have been more non-conventional, not just like in straight regular relationships or whatever it may be. And you know, it's not easy. My town is definitely not an easy town to kind of grow up in terms of judgments. And it's kind of like you're in one of two different like groups. It's like you're in like that offbeat, like not the norm group, or you're just in like the normal, like everybody is the same. Everybody like, you know, lives by the book, like where's what's trendy and whatever. And I hope that the times are changing. My brother tells me the times are changing and I could just see it even in just like images and pictures. That is the same thing in following girls like my brother's friends and stuff on Instagram, and I'm like, thank gosh the times are changing and it's not just like we all have to dress the same and we all have to act the same way. And I'm really appreciative of that because it definitely wasn't the same when I was there. So yeah, it was definitely abnormal to do something abnormal at the time, and I'm so proud of myself now that I've like scaled my quote-unquote like online business with all of the different revenue streams, which I can get into, to this point that I can walk away from a job that wasn't serving me anymore for the multitude of reasons. I did do a video on my YouTube channel like where I, you know, the day that I quit my job is going up on Friday, but the week in my life is already up, so you guys can go check that out and I go through some more reasons in there. But yeah, I guess the timeline for when I did quit, because I just said why I quit. So my job is one of those jobs where you leave the same day. There is no 2 weeks notice because it is just lead generation sales. Honestly, they employ a lot of people fresh out of college. So, you know, they'll just hire one more in February to make up for it. They do like these, it's like the class of program. So they're constantly hiring new people. I'm honestly, like, I did feel validated as an employee at this company and everything. It's not like that. But I know that in terms of, like, mega corporations, I was just a number. So it's, like, they are fine. It's not the type of thing where I had to train someone to be in my role. Like, we're all, everyone on my team was in the same exact role. And then there's the manager. So it's very different than other corporations, I know, because this was specifically catered for recent grads of college. So that's why everyone's commenting, like, why didn't you give 2 weeks? Like, no, you, like, just the way that the company works is you leave the same day. I did leave like really, really short because I had a flight to catch and I was like, I already did all of my like kind of wrap up work. And then I let my manager know because he was traveling. It was like this whole big thing. So he was traveling, and then Friday he came back and I had decided on like Tuesday that I was leaving. So I was already, you know, concluding work and things. And I went into his office and I told him, and The video is going up Friday on, like, the actual details of the tea, but the whole process took, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours for me to, like, wrap up everything, say goodbye to everybody, and be out the door. So it's definitely not something that's very time-consuming in that sense. I know people that have quit and then, like, worked the rest of the day, but like I said, I already kind of was wrapping things up. I guess I could have worked the rest of the day, but then I'd be... The thing is, like, then you're, like, booking meetings and scheduling future appointments for a job that you're not going to be there. So I don't really understand how people do that. Does that make sense? Whatever. Okay. So let's go into what everybody said about me quitting my job, because I think it's... While it is important to you, ultimately, like, you have to do what makes your heart happy and no one knows you better than you, like, important figures in your life definitely... Like, I personally like to listen to what they have to say, and I value their opinions very much so, especially my parents, because they are so, so integral in my life. So a few months ago, actually when my parents visited, I think I discussed it on the show as well, I had a full-on, like, mental breakdown. This was a few months ago, too, just about how busy I was and how I hated that... I didn't really have a moment of free time, or the free time that I had, I was going out socializing because I felt like this pressure that I had to make friends and that I had to quickly, because I wanted to get used to my life in this new city. And I had to, like, not that I felt the need to, like, fill a void with my college friends, because I still am friends with my college friends, but I know that for me, being happy involves being social, because I am pretty extroverted like that. So I was filling a lot of my time with socializing, and then working on my business was just, like, slipping. And I told my parents that they kind of motivated me again. They were like, you can keep going, you know, we can regroup, revisit this in a few months. And then honestly, I'll get into, like, a breaking point later, but there was just several, like, days where I was like, I'm being tested, and I would call them after work and be like, you guys, like, I don't know if I could do this. And they were like, keep going, you know, really trying to motivate me, because they do believe in me entirely, but I get it. It was only a few months in, so they were like, you can keep going. But then I think they hit the breaking point when I hit a breaking point too, is when they were like, they want me to be happy and they genuinely believe in me. And they were like, if you're going to do it, like, we're of course entirely going to support you emotionally. This is the key here, is that I was looking for my parents to support me emotionally, not financially. I entirely am financially backing my entire life right now and still continuing to do so. It's not like I was looking to, you know, quit my job and then my parents just pay my rent and I could just chill for a few months. Like, absolutely not. This is my life now, and they saw the opportunity I have, and they're just so incredibly supportive. I actually visited my grandma a few weeks ago and brought the idea up to her, and she really pushed for me to do it too, which I thought was so incredible, because that's like the generational differences. Like, you would think that people that are, my grandma's like in her 70s, you would think that she wouldn't understand it and be like, how can you make money from all this? Like, how is that stable? And she was like, Brooke, like, you have to do you. And it was just so, so incredibly, like, support. Oh my gosh, I'm actually blown away. And honestly, and on another note, every mentor I've ever had in my entire life, I've never had, like, a formal mentor, like, where I meet someone, I'm like, you're going to be my mentor. But, like, mentor-like figures. So, like, my old boss at my internship last summer, a mentor through UGA and the digital marketing program, a bunch of other people have told me that I should pursue my online stuff. This is actually so funny. We did, like, predictions. I was still a junior in college. I had just turned 21. Yeah. And he was, like, our coach, I guess, for the digital marketing competition that I did with my school. But he was just a business professional that was, like, volunteering his time. And he went around the room and, like, gave everybody on my team a prediction. And they were all, like, pretty accurate. You know, like, you're going to be a CMO. You're going to be a entrepreneur or whatever. And then for me, he's like, you are going to continue doing YouTube, grow it to other stuff, and you are going to, like, kill it, basically. And I remember at first I was, like, insulted. I was like, what, you don't think I could, like – I didn't say anything to him, but I was like, I can't get a real job, you know, like, I was thinking that in the back of my mind. And then when my boss at my internship said the same thing, he was like, you really should, you know, write out the YouTube thing. And I just kind of pushed all of that advice aside, I think, because I wanted to prove everybody wrong, which is, like, such a spiteful thing in me. Like, I don't know why. And I think it goes back to just, like, the traditional mindset of, like, the Long Island, New York, like, white picket fence, like, everything has to be perfect. Like, you have to go, you know, work a desk job and, like, oh, you're a lawyer, that's great. Oh, you're in finance, that's even better. Like, my parents to go around and tell people like, oh yeah, Brooks and tech sales at Oracle, like that was like the pleasing answer for everybody, versus doing something that actually is off the beaten path, but that makes me happy, is what I'm doing now. So why now? It's because I'm 22. I can take the risk now. That's the thing. And I have been presented with a lot of just opportunities recently that I'm like, this is it for me. At least for now. Honestly, do I know what I'm going to do in a year from now, 2 years from now? Absolutely not. I can only speak for now and for like the next like 6 months. Financially, career-wise, like things have really just taken off with online, not only with YouTube. I keep saying YouTube, but the podcast is absolutely growing. You guys are actually incredible. This community has blossomed into something that I truly didn't know it could become. I thought of this idea for the podcast, hit up Danielle. I was like, we should do it together, you know, Gals on the Go, whatever. Playing around with titles and like Gals on the Go Stuck. And I didn't really know what to expect. I was like, we'll do it for a year together when we're at school, and then we'll see if it's like working. And this has just become such a potential empire. Honestly, we have really, really big things in the works, big projects that I now have the time to work on. I never had that like post grad feeling. I rushed into a job because honestly, like I said, I wanted to graduate with a job, as like shitty as that sounds. I didn't want to graduate and be unemployed. I was like, so I was kind of like grasping for opportunities. I was like, this is a good one. It pays well. And it's in Boston. Like that's a fun city. And so in my mind, it just kind of made sense for me, but not that I wasn't long-term thinking, because I think at the time it was right for me. And that's the thing, like your timeline for your life changes. You know, 3 months from now, I might not be happy doing what I'm doing, and I could change it up. So that's the cool thing about it, is that I have my degree still. I have my degree from Georgia and the Terry College of Business. So like I am good. Like if all else fails, I still have a college degree to lean back on and my amazing 4 years that I had there. And another point too is just that a few months ago, because I did like kind of announce like why I want a job, and a lot of it was to keep myself like busy and occupied, which is a whole nother thing, but I am working on other side projects like consulting and things like that, so that I'm not just like, you know, vlogging all day long, because what, like I'm going to run out of content. Like what am I going to talk about? But a few months ago, I couldn't really afford it. And honestly, now being completely candid, I can't afford to work for myself. So, and live where I live, and I don't need mommy and daddy to pay for me. Nothing wrong with that if that is your life. But that's just, I don't need to be at that point. I'm really lucky. So yeah. So now we'll talk a little bit more about the job itself. Because I think that for a lot of you guys probably listening, I got a lot of messages like, hey, Brooke, I'm considering, you know, maybe not my role at Oracle, but similar sales job, things of that sort. And people were asking me kind of my opinions and feedback on working in sales, working at Oracle, whatever. And honestly, it's good days and bad days in any sales role. We were treated really, really well at Oracle, I will say, because it's a huge campus and they employ a lot of BDCs, but even just the BDCs in general, like they are generally like looked at, like people are really kind to them at the company. So even people who work on the tech side or whatever, not tech as in tech or apps, I'm being confusing, but like the hard technical side of the business, like people that aren't touching sales, I feel like still were really respectful of me. And it was a really easy transition from college. That's the thing. So if you're looking for something that would be a more structured program, I would say go for it, because you will make a lot of friends. I made friends from work. But the culture was really fun, you know, nights out, things like that. Everybody recently moved to Boston from college because most people didn't go to school around here. So that was nice, because it kind of gave you immediate friends, fast friends. And like I said, just made the transition from college easy. Like I mentioned all of the things about sales. So like you just have to know what you're getting yourself into. I think that's the thing. Don't just take the first job that comes your way. If I could give anybody any advice, that would be it. But it is a super fun culture. And there were days that I was like, wow, I could totally do this. But it was just weighing it with my other opportunities. It was apparent that this was the time to take the leap. And another side point, after going to Athens and seeing all my friends, and talking to them and hearing about what they're all doing, we went around the room, and there was like two people in the room of like 10 plus that are working that genuinely like their job. So I don't mean to scare you guys, but it's a hard truth that it's for your first job post-grad is probably going to suck. And it sucks And I mean, I didn't make it. Here I am. I'm like, yeah, it sucks. Like, literally didn't make it 4 months. But apparently they all suck. Because it's your entry-level role. You know, these companies, they know that you are looking for a way to get in and to make a mark. But you still have to grind and work. And you will probably work insane hours. Honestly, I talked to my friends about, like, the hours that they're working. They're pretty psycho. So just be prepared for all of that, I guess. And I think if you go into it with level-headed expectations and you know, like, wow, I'm not going to, like, I think TV shows glamorize work way too much. Like, it's great to, you know, love what you do. And some people do love, like, these entry-level roles, and that's incredible for them. But the goal, at least for Oracle, like, if you work at my company, you don't want to be in the BDC role for probably more than, like, a year and a few months. And you would move up to, like, a closing role where you can make commission and stuff like that. So that's the thing, is that I think for every entry level role, the goal is to not stay in that exact role. So you do have to, like, grind and stuff, which here I am preaching that, but I clearly didn't follow through. But just being completely honest with you guys. So overall, I was just overpassing opportunities online that were more exciting to me. I hated that I couldn't focus in and make proper business decisions because I was making decisions out of haste, replying to emails outside of business hours and just rushing things through. And I really just want to be more thoughtful with my approach of how to approach businesses now. And now that I have, like, that business knowledge of even just better communication skills, I just realize how I can better improve my personal business, which is so crazy because how, like, would a tech sales job equate to doing YouTube? But it does. So I no regrets at all. Absolutely none. I got a DM from a girl saying, how do you feel about, like, inspiring others to quit their jobs because it might not be the best message? And to that, I just want to say, I try my best, you guys, to be a good role model because I think it's important. I know I have a young audience, or even just people that really look up to me. But I think it's pretty clear, if you guys watch me, that I am not perfect, like, not even close. So I don't want to be out here being like, everybody should quit their jobs. But my life is online. I share everything online. So I'm sharing this chapter, and this is the real me, and this is really what I'm doing. You could take it with a grain of salt. You know, if you're taking that, like, I should quit my job too, like, I'm not happy, go for it. But I'm not saying that everybody's in the same unique, like, position that I'm in. And then that's another point. Like, am I a quitter? Because, you know, I really honestly haven't liked many traditional jobs that I've worked. But I've spoken to so many other girls who started YouTube young, like the same age that when I started, like 13. And we all, like, have this same, like, underlying feeling that since we've been working on our own terms since we were 13 and, like, exposed to the level of success that you could attain online, like, there were always, you know, people that were doing it bigger and better than there still are a million people that are doing it bigger and better than I'm doing, and I look up to them. I'm like, wow, maybe one day I could be on that level. Like, the goal is so clear and in mind. Am I making any sense right now? But basically, as a creative, it's hard to be in an office from 8 to 5. I don't even consider myself to be a creative. Like, I'm out here, like, sketching and drawing and, you know, writing poetry. But I think I do have a more creative mind than analytical. And as crappy as that sounds, like, it's hard for me to be in an office 8 to 5 told to just send emails and make dials. And I know a lot of other people feel that way, but I am just so fortunate that I had another avenue of what to do, like, another path, basically. I wanted to talk to you guys also about, like, the sustainability of social media as a career, because I know that's, like, a big thing that I used to judge people who I followed them online and they didn't have a job, or it appeared like they had, like, one income stream or something, because I was like, that's not sustainable. Like, you know, YouTube isn't forever, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, it's just not true. You just can't limit yourself to the one income stream. Or rely on, like, one platform too heavily. But if you're spreading yourself out and making money in a bunch of different ways and, you know, you can pivot really easily, I definitely think it is possible to do it. And for me, I sound like I'm really, like, money hungry and stuff in this, but I'm not moving back in with my parents, you guys. Like, I love them to death, but this is my life now. So I have to grind and I have to figure it out. And if I'm not going to do it through an 8 to 5, it's through another means. And for me, it is going to be through social media. So you can't just rely on, like, getting sponsors or getting views or, you know, getting likes on Instagram. I also don't get paid via like Instagram unless I do like a sponsorship post, but you know what I mean? You can't rely on one specific platform. But I do think for like the next 2 to 3 years, social is going to be the same with like the uptake and like climbing. And but I do want to create a business offline to make sure that I'm like still chilling, because I want to be like comfortable with my finances. And the podcast is growing. Where's my brand going? A lot of people are asking, because I did grow a lot because of the people that followed me, because I have a job and that was very like relatable or whatever. And people are like, oh, you know, I only liked you for your work content. Like, what's your content going to be now? And in the short term, my answer is just post-grad, figuring it out for me. And I think that there's a lot of people that identify with that message, that graduate and take a gap year, or they figure, or they are doing a non-traditional path. And I think that that's kind of more my angle now, because obviously I can't really relate to that whole corporate 8-to-5 situation like I did. I did it, so now I can say that I did it and like share that experience from it. But obviously I'm not going to do like these. I will still do work week in my life as an entrepreneur, where I'll actually be able to share more, but you know what I'm saying. So I think I'm going to just focus on post-grad and figuring out me, and you know, reading more and self-discovery and trying to become the best version of myself. And I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, and that's totally, totally cool. I'm honestly not like every other like quote-unquote like influencer or whatever, though, because I do think that this is kind of like a niche-y thing, like the post-grad, like adulting, being a real girl situation. Like, I'm not out here in LA drinking green juices for every meal and like, you know, spending millions and millions of, not millions, but like a lot of money on like these absurd like workout classes and stuff like that. I'm still me, and I'm just gonna do it full time. So I'm scrolling through just to make sure that I said everything. I know that this was, all those points were all over the place, but those were just all things that I wanted to address. But I'm so thankful for all of you guys for supporting me, and the outpouring of love and support, because I think you guys really did see my mental state just like diminishing and draining. People are like, you aren't the same that you used to be, like this happy, upbeat, like bubbly gal. And I totally feel that. Like, I definitely have seen the personality shift in me, and like, quote, quote, from a comment, like the life sucked out of you. And I totally get that. And I think it's time to get back to me and back to focused and back to self-growing, self-development. And like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect, but we're on this journey together. And if you guys want to, it's a crazy ride. If you guys want to ride on it with me, we can do it together. And yeah, I mean, I quit after like only 4 months, so I'm a quitter. Let's face the facts here. But you have to do what's best for you. And luckily I had an out. So now we're going to do a Q&A portion, because you guys have a lot of questions on my situation, what is happening. So go to the Gals on the Go podcast Instagram and let's chat there. Okay, first up, am I still hiring an assistant? I announced on YouTube I'm interested in hiring an assistant like a month ago maybe, and I am. I actually hired 2 girls. They are so freaking cute. You'll see more of them, so I don't want to say too much because you'll see them on my socials and stuff, but they are adorable. They're best friends, so they applied together, and they're not going to work together. They'll like, one will take different shifts because they're in college, so they're busy. But I did want someone that was available during the daytime too, now that I'm free during the day, to take pictures or you know, work at the co-working space, because I'm allowed guests, and I think it will be really fun, and I'm excited for them to kind of help me scale my business. I'm also like in this mindset now where I just like want to keep like investing in my business. Like, I don't see the need to buy like material objects right now. I just want to put all the money that I get back into the business. And I feel like hiring on an assistant, hiring on, you know, we have Emma who does our graphics for the Gals on the Go podcast Instagram. Like, all these are smart investments from a business side that I'm thrilled to do. Do I still want to get a dog? I posted on Instagram, like, if I didn't have a job, I would get a corgi. I really want a corgi, you guys. It's definitely been on my mind. But once again, that's another thing that I feel like if I got that right now, I would just be thrown into so much so fast. So I don't know. But if you guys have a dog, please share your experiences. I know some are positive, some are negative. I lived with a dog last year. I'm not going to lie. I did not like it. But it was a big dog, and it wasn't – it shed everywhere. I know corgis shed too, though. So I don't know. I didn't even have to do much for the dog, and I was like, oh, this might not be my vibe. But I feel like if I had like a good medium-sized dog, my apartment's pretty spacious for it to like run around and now that I live alone, it might be good for me because I, you know, get a, not like super lonely, but a little lonely. So I think that would be cool. Let me know if you guys have dogs or corgis specifically. Give me all your corgi tips because if I get one, that's what I would get. Did you have a breaking point that made you like want to quit your job basically? So it wasn't like one day that I was like, that's it. But progressively over the last like few weeks, there's been a lot of changes in the company. And I was already thinking about it like in the back of my mind. And I'm not going to say it's like the changes that pushed me to do it at all, because I don't want to blame me quitting on like the role itself, because for a lot of people, they like the job. A lot of my friends even like the job. They're like, this is like the best first job situation you're going to get. And it's honestly true for many. So I don't want to like put down the job or the company by any means, but there was just like a lot of internal changes. And just at that point I was like, you know what, like I'm already mentally out of here. Like I got to physically leave. Even though I was still like working up until the last day, just so we're clear. Are you staying in Boston? So I guess I didn't really address that either, but yes, my lease is until mid-June. So I will be here until mid-June at the minimum. Like I said, I kind of want to move to New York. Nothing set in stone. Like, I don't know who I would live with. I don't know where I would live. Like that's all TBD, but I feel like it probably makes sense for me to go back to New York. And for what I'm doing now, there's probably more opportunity in New York, but there's plenty of opportunity here in Boston for sure. But there might be more in New York. So I think that would be my next move. But I don't know yet. So you're going to have to follow me and stay tuned. How are you affording to live? And that is through the multiple revenue streams that I've kind of created for myself. Of course, podcasting is one. YouTube views is one. YouTube sponsorships is one. Instagram sponsorships is another one. Sponsorships meaning like brands that reach out that want me to do like specific campaigns and whatnot. And then I haven't really announced this yet, but on the side, I am planning to pick up some consulting gigs. I've had some small businesses reach out and be like, you know, we'd like to work together. Just putting together influencer marketing plans or YouTube plans, because I do have like enough knowledge in that space. I feel like that I could consult, not like mega corporations or anything huge, but small business consulting or whatever. It's not really something that I per se like want to like advertise out there on my platforms and be like, yo, like hire me to consult, because I think I am going to be sufficiently busy enough with the projects in the works, especially for Gals on the Go. We are working on a lot of projects, maybe live events. Let's see. Gauging interest if you guys would want to do that. Yeah, so I'm good as it is. It's not something that I'm like gonna, you know, create like a website for. I know like Natalie Barbu is killing it with the consulting situation. I know she's doing that soon. At the time, it's not something that I'm gonna do, but I think it is cool to do that on a smaller scale too. So that's like non-social media related stuff. But like I said, I don't want to put my eggs in one basket. Oh, I also make money from commission links. So if I'm like, hey, like, you know, I'll link my table down below, and then people buy the table, I get a small commission off of that. And it actually adds up a good bit, so that's pretty cool. I'm trying to think if there's any other ways that I make money. I can't really think. I think that's it. What did the company say when I left? Like I said, that video is going to drop on Friday, so be subscribed, youtube.com/BrookeMichio. And yeah, I literally vlogged my day. I like quit and then like got in the car and vlogged. So yeah, mentally, how are you doing, girl? I am doing good. This was a crazy week with traveling and stuff. This is my first like Monday back in Boston as a, do we want to say unemployed gal, even though I do have a job, work for myself or whatever, but technically unemployed. And it's been a really, really good week. Like I said, the weekend was kind of weird because I felt like not emptiness, but I was like, every weekend I'm like looking to Monday. I'm like, oh, Monday's coming up. And now it's Monday and I'm like just chilling in my apartment. I did a lot of work this morning, but like I'm just here in my apartment. I think it will be better once I start going to my co-working space and get a community kind of through that, hopefully. But mentally, I am doing a lot better. Last week was a fantastic week. Like I was just smiling and beaming, and you'll see it in the vlogs. People are going to be like, wow, this is crazy. Will you ever go back to corporate? You guys, it's hard for me to predict because I say stuff and then like I say the other thing. But as of now, as of this day, what is today? September 30th, 2019, my plan is to not work in corporate again. not, that's not to say that I won't work for someone else again, but I would not want to work in a big corporation setting. I also don't really want to work in like a two-person business. I think like those medium-sized businesses is like where it would be at for me. But for the time being, I think like working for myself is working out like pretty well. So that's probably what I'm going to keep doing until I run out of money or until the business is like over, which is fine because I'm 22. Like, no, who has their life like completely figured out at 22? Like, I want to meet that person. I know there's people that are like, you know, like engaged or whatever, but I've always been someone to kind of like figure it out on the fly. And yeah. How much money should you save before quitting? So I want to be clear on this. I actually saved prior to moving to Boston in general. I put together a fund of a year of rent because I was like, if I run out of money, let's say like all goes a bust. Because I honestly couldn't afford the place that I'm currently in just off of my work salary. Actually, my work salary would like literally pay for my rent and then I wouldn't have any other money left over. So just to put it into perspective here. Yeah, it... actually, no, I'd have a little bit left over, but not much by the time taxes and stuff are taken out. So I wanted to put together a fund just in case all went a bust. And the opposite actually happened. It was like my online stuff just kept growing. And I definitely think you should save prior to making the shift. I would say give yourself a few months of flexibility. If you're just altogether going to quit your job and you don't have any other means of income, like you really have to set yourself up for success because that's a dangerous game to play in terms of like rent and literally just like basic expenses. Like I never want to be that girl to live with $10 in my bank account. Like, oh my gosh, do I have enough money for gas? That to me is just something that I don't want to do. It stresses me out. So that's a maybe that's a personal thing. I would hope that you guys don't want to like run out of gas on the side of the road. Like, please take care of yourselves. Just make sure that it's something that is really, really thoughtful and really intentional. And like I said, I don't want to be out here like inspiring everybody to quit their jobs. You know, if that's what brings you joy and you find yourself in a similar situation to mine and it was mentally making you crazy, like, yeah, reconsider it. But it's not that simple for everybody. Unfortunately, I wish I could recommend everybody to be out here quitting their jobs, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do, and what pays the bills pays the bills. What will your new daily routine be like? I love talking about routine. So like I said, I love my mornings. So I'm still going to be waking up in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm not going to be like a psycho and say six every day maybe, but I set my alarm today for 6:15. It was good. I like stayed in bed. I always check my phone in the morning. I'm trying to stop that, but it's going to be really hard to stop that because I wake up to like notifications and I want to check them. Listen to a podcast. If I shower in the morning, I shower, make a little breakfast. This morning I just had like toast and cause I did like a light breakfast. It's actually lunchtime now. I'm getting really hungry. Some coffee and then really just get to work. I think it depends on the structure of the day. I really want to start doing days where it's like content days. This way I don't have to get ready every single day because that was another thing with corporate is that I was like getting like dressed to the nines and like putting on a full heavy face of makeup and doing my hair every single day. And I was just like, this is like a lot for me, which I guess you could start like not dressing down, but people like don't wear makeup to work. That's so normal. But for some reason, because I was surrounded by people that were my age and whatever, I felt this need to like put on not a front, but like to make myself look good. Like if they saw me like bumming around my apartment, like no makeup on, they'd be like, whoa, this is like so off for you. So that's kind of going to be like my morning and then working. And then I do want to start integrating the working out piece into there. Working in terms like what does my work entail? You know, if I, like I said, if I have a sponsored video post to do that and then just general vlogging. Working on stuff for Gals on the Go, like I said, the bigger projects we have in works. I think that's the thing. Every day is going to be a little different, and I'm a big, like, I do things kind of as they're inbound. Like, if I get an email, like, I'm going to take care of the email first because that's like a specific email, not just like a general email, but like an email from a project I'm working on, that's going to be my priority at the moment. It's not I need to get better about time blocking and being like, you know, like this hour is for emails. But at the same time, I just generally think that's like not how my brain works. But I think it does work in the sense of like, I'm sitting down now, I'm going to do administrative tasks and then like just knock it all out for a few hours. And then I could go out, you know, run my errands and work out and then come back, do a little bit more work later. Like last night I was up doing work until, you know, midnight. And that's the thing I think about this new lifestyle that I'm living is it's going to be flexible, and I just have to learn to be flexible with change, but I also have to have that discipline aspect. Otherwise, like, the business isn't going to scale the way that I want it to. And in terms of scaling, it's not even just about like the followers and like the numbers and all of that. It's like generally like realizing that these social platforms are a business and are a brand, and it's go time, baby. I'm feeling so like hyped up, so motivated. I've been listening to so many motivational podcasts. Really recommend Manifest with Tori DeSimone if you are looking for a good one on like starting your own business and getting it done. She's a good friend. I love Tori so much, and I love her podcast. All right. How does it feel to be free slash like how does it feel to be unemployed? Like, there are two different like perspectives of this question. And like I said, it's definitely, it's weird. Like, I feel like a void in terms of like, cause it's so abnormal to me, especially every void that I've had, like breaks from school or like the in-between period of starting my job. Like, I was home at my house in New York. I wasn't here in Boston. So it definitely feels weird that it is, you know, a Monday at 1 o'clock and I'm sitting here on my floor recording a podcast and I'm not at work. Like, this feels super weird, not gonna lie. But I do really like it. And I'm happy. Like, this morning I just was feeling so happy, and like hearing all of your feedback and messages, like, you guys have really just been like a rock for me. It's been actually amazing, and I'm just so, so thankful for each and every one of you who, you know, supports my channel, and like, hopefully you continue to support, because I know I've gotten a few of those messages that are like, you're just not relatable anymore. And I'm like, okay, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I'm not going to fake this relatable element of my life. Like, you know, get a job just to be relatable online. Like, at the end of the day, I show you my life because it is my life. And I think people see YouTubers and influencers kind of almost as if it's like the same thing as like reality TV. Like, they're like, oh, you know, when's the next episode up? Like, what is your life? What, you know, what's going on? And it's my life. Like, I don't know how else to put it except that I can't fake emotion. I can't fake my happiness. I can't really, like, I'm so raw and open on my platforms that like this, that's just the angle that I go for. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. So if you guys are on this journey with me, like, let's ride. I love you guys so much. I know this was a long one, but thanks for sticking with me. And if I didn't address your specific point or question, you can comment on the latest Gals on the Go Instagram post. I will try to get back to as many of you on there as I can. I'm so thankful. And my parting words I'll leave everybody with is, if you can dream it, like, this is like a Walt Disney quote, I think, if you can dream it, do it. If you have something that you've always wanted to do, you've always wanted to, you know, take up painting, or I don't even know what else, what are some other cool passions, whatever is driving you, do it, because now's the time. There's no time like now. You're only getting older, as scary as that is to recognize. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. So it's definitely possible, but obviously think before you act. I know, coming from a spontaneous person, it's hard, but I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you in next week's episode back with Danielle. Bye, guys.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.